This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Hey guys, it's Alana, and welcome back to another episode of Seeing Other People. Together, we're navigating modern dating alongside experts and real-life daters who are sharing their stories. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Come learn, laugh, and maybe even cry along with us as we navigate the dating scene together. Hey guys, it's Alana, and welcome back for another episode of Seeing Other People. We have a really fun and silly and relatable and real episode today, and I'm so excited. I kind of want to get right into it because honestly, not much else is going on. This week, Jake and I are actually doing a little getaway that our brothers got us as a gift for our engagement. So very excited for that and excited to have a few days off and really try and not be on my phone and not do work and just be present and in the moment. And that will feel really, really nice. So thank you to the brothers for that. And yeah, other than that, just enjoying this weather and really trying to like stick to being in a routine since I can. I feel like I've been traveling so much and going all over the place and just been like sick and stuff that now that I can kind of be just home and working Monday through Friday for the most part, I can actually like do things that make me feel good mentally and physically. So enjoying being in that routine vibe with the exception of the two nights for going away. And yeah, Barkley was a little bit of a terror throughout this episode. He barked the entire time. Don't worry, you guys won't hear it, even though he wishes you would. Today on the pod, we have Alana Bloomberg. I am so excited to have her on. I first found out about her, I guess she like showed up on my For You page maybe a year or so ago. And I feel like I've learned a lot from her about routines and balance and health and wellness. And she is the host of Morning Ray, which is an amazing podcast. You guys have to check it out. And I just feel like she makes everything very relatable, whereas a lot of creators out there in the wellness space, I feel like there's a lot of like woo-woo stuff out there that isn't very digestible for someone like me. And I think Alana's content and her podcast just really like hits home for the way I'm able to understand some of these concepts. So I really, really admire her and respect her. And I'm so excited to have her. We have a very fun agenda for today's episode. We are going to talk about situationships. We're going to talk about commitment. We're going to talk about masculine versus feminine energy in dating. We are going to talk about rosters, if you should have one, the benefits of having one, how to maintain one, how to fill it up, and when you should not have one. We are going to talk about whether there should be a difference between being exclusive versus being in a relationship and the language we use around that and so much more. Let's get into it. I am so excited. Thank you guys again for tuning in, and let's bring Alana in. Okay, we're here. Alana Bloomberg, welcome to Seeing Other People.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to be here. I feel like I found you either on TikTok or Instagram maybe like a year ago, and I feel inspired every day by you to like live a more aesthetically pleasing life.
My life is not aesthetically pleasing. Like my counter right now is mayhem. Like
Instagram versus reality. But no, seriously, like your content is so impressive. And I feel like you're very, I don't know. I there's a lot about you and your work ethic and just what you do and what you put out there that I really admire. So honored to have you here on Seeing Other People. Tell me about what is going on in your life right now. You're host of Morning Ray podcast. You do a ton on social media. What's going on in your dating life and how does that tie into everything else going on in your world?
Yeah. So right now I feel like I'm kind of in this like in between period. For the past year and a half, 2 years, I would say I was going on dates all the time. I constantly was seeing like 2 to 3 people at a time, going on dates with them, getting to know people, trying to figure out what exactly I'm looking for in a partner. Like, what do I want this person to have personality-wise, career-wise? How could they fit into my life? And I want to say since July last year, I have been so burnt out from dates. I have maybe been on 3 dates since then. I've just gotten out of like a 7-month situationship, friends with benefits situation, and we can talk about that in a bit. But now I'm kind of just it's not that I'm opposed or closed off to dating. I'm just not actively trying to seek out people. Like, I feel like before I was like, oh my God, I need a boyfriend. Like, I need to find this person. I'm getting old. I'm literally 23. God bless. Like, you're younger Atlanta.
A fetus.
Yes. And now I'm kind of just like, I am on the apps, but I'm not really using them. I'm open to people, but I'm kind of just doing me. And if something comes and someone asks me out, or I make out with someone at a bar and I'm into it and I want to see where it goes, like, I'll do it. But I'm not like actively trying to set up like 2 to 3 dates a week like I was before. So that's like kind of where I am right now in terms of my dating life.
How does that feel for you? Because that is a big transition to make. Obviously, it didn't happen overnight, but I'm curious what that's like. Do you feel like, oh, I'm gonna miss out on my person? Or do you feel like, well, I'm actually focusing on me and I don't need to make dating the one thing that my whole world is about, because that doesn't feel good?
I think it's hard because part of me obviously is a hopeless romantic, and I do like want a partner and I want to experience life with someone and I want to fall in love and all these things. But I'm tired of trying to make it happen and tired of trying to like force anything. And I've learned that obviously that hasn't worked. And I'm just like trying to learn how to be okay with just accepting what my life looks like right now and putting the energy into myself instead of giving it to someone else. Cause I feel like I just give, and I forget about like refilling my cup. As much as I do my morning routine and I have my self-care rituals, I felt like I was like just trying to fix someone else or please someone else or like change myself to fit whatever they were looking for. And yeah. I just got tired of that. So that's like where I am right now. I definitely feel like I go back and forth because, like you said, it's not just something that you can flip a switch and all of a sudden you're like, I can only focus on me. Obviously, I'm human and I still am interested in men and hooking up with men and, you know, going on dates and having attention. But I'm trying to encourage myself to kind of just like let go of that. And if it comes, it comes.
I think that is such a good approach to dating and something that I definitely don't think I ever successfully did. You know, I think there were times where I'm like, oh, screw the apps, I'm going to delete them because nothing's working. But in the back of my mind, I was always like, I'm not going to be a complete person until I find my person. And mm-hmm. I think that, like, I wish I could go back in time and kind of shake myself and be like, no, Alana, like, you have to do you and do what makes you happy and take care of yourself. Because like you said, like when it's kind of like give, when you're dating, so much of it unfortunately ends up being like trying to please someone else and trying to do or say whatever it takes to get this other person to want to be with you, when it shouldn't be that way at all. You should know who you are and what matters to you and what feels good for you. And then somebody will see that.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So I applaud you for being able to like kind of shift that narrative for yourself, even if it just came from burnout, even if it wasn't an intentional thing. I do actually think it's a much healthier way to approach dating.
Yeah, I feel like it is too. And I think there's more of a conversation about it on socials now. I feel like more people are talking about kind of just letting go and seeing where life takes you and putting energy back into yourself and putting yourself on the pedestal, as people like to say. I think her name's Liz, like Date Yourself Instead. Mm-hmm. Like she talks a lot about all of this. I think the narrative is starting to change a little bit. Like I think the dating scene and the community that is always discussing dating online is changing.
And I think it needs to.
Yeah.
I think it's needed to for a long time. And I'm happy there are so many people out there saying like something's wrong with this and we haven't been kind to ourselves and we all deserve to treat ourselves so much better, because otherwise how is anyone else going to treat us well if we don't first treat ourselves well and know who we are and what's important?
Yeah, they say that the people that you tend to be attracted to are mirrors of yourself and what your life looks like and how you see yourself. So I always like to reflect after like relationships and situationships and things, like okay, what did we learn from this? Like, what can we take away? Like, what do we not want? What do we think was actually going on in our own life based on what we saw in that partner?
Yeah. All right. I never expected to experience hair thinning and hair shedding in my 20s because nobody talks about it. So when it started to happen to me a year or two ago, I was so embarrassed and felt really alone and defeated. But the reality is that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women. So we should be talking about it. And the good news is that there is something that can be done about it. When I found the courage last year to actually confide in a friend about my hair issues, she told me that she was experiencing the same thing and she was using Nutrafol. So I tried Nutrafol and I could not be happier that I gave it a shot. Guys, I love Nutrafol so much, not just because of how much it's helped my hair problems, but also because of how much confidence I've gained back because of it. So let me tell you more about it so that you can gain your confidence back too. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Physician formulated with drug-free ingredients, Nutrafol supplements support healthy hair growth from within by targeting root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism as they evolve throughout a woman's life. Guys, we deal with so much. The last thing we want to deal with on top of that is hair issues. But trust me, you guys, Nutrafol really works. Not just for me, but in a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. Plus, it's personalized to you. You start by taking their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and use the promo code SEEINGOTHERPEOPLE. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code SEEINGOTHERPEOPLE. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code SEEINGOTHERPEOPLE. Brave the uncomfortable. Those are the words engraved on my bracelet that have gotten me through some of the most anxiety-inducing moments over the last few years. And that's why I could not be more excited to encourage you all to get a Presently bracelet of your own with a phrase that resonates with you. Presently is a line of mindfulness bracelets engraved with words inspired by cognitive behavioral therapy. The brand was started by two sisters, Lindsay and Emily, who have obsessive compulsive disorder, aka OCD, and anxiety. They realized that when stuck in an anxiety spiral, it's hard to put into practice the tools that they learned in therapy sessions. They looked and looked for bracelets that could serve as reminders to interrupt that spiral, but they couldn't find anything besides the cheesy good vibes only and no bad days types of messaging. They started Presently to bring more authenticity to self-help anxiety management. And as someone who has had a Presently bracelet for 3 years, I mean it when I say it really makes a difference. So whether you need encouragement to make it onto that date that you've been anxious about, a calming mantra to get you through a big day at work, or simply a reminder that you're not alone, Presently has your back. Their bracelets are so beautiful and elevated, and they also make amazing gifts. And I know because I have gifted a few over the years, and my friends were so excited to get one and have worn them ever since. There are 6 phrases to choose from. And if you're indecisive, there's a quiz that you can take to help you choose the perfect reminder for your anxiety. Plus, 5% of each bracelet is donated to your choice of 4 mental health nonprofits. I wholeheartedly love and support Presently, and I know that your Presently bracelet will bring you as much comfort as mine has brought me. So head to presentlybracelets.com. That's PRESENTLY bracelets.com for 10% off your order using code SEEINGOTHERPEOPLE. Let's play a quick game. Put a finger down if you have anxiety. All right, now put a finger down if you have trouble sleeping. Okay, so the bad news is I know all of you just put at least one finger down. But the good news is I have something that can help both of these things and so much more. 3 words, Sunset Lake CBD. Guys, CBD has so many benefits, and Sunset Lake CBD is an incredible company that I am truly proud to be working with. My friend Allie recently introduced me to their CBD, and I wanted to use it for at least a month before telling you guys about it. And now I can confirm that in arguably one of the most stressful times in my life, aka the 2-month countdown to my wedding, I'm actually sleeping better than ever before. And yes, I have the Oura Ring stats to prove it. And I'm able to brush off stress and anxiety way more easily. And I swear it is all because of the CBD I've been taking from Sunset Lake CBD. They have goodies for everyone and every need. So if you need help going to bed, their sleep gummies are perfect for you. I take them every night. So does Jake. We love them. If you have sore muscles that need some love, their CBD salve and recovery lotion are phenomenal. Plus, they're such great moisturizers, which I love. And even Barkley has benefited from their CBD dog treats. And when Barkley's relaxed, I'm relaxed. They have so many products to choose from for so many of life's pain points. And I promise you will love it as much as I do. Plus, I love supporting a good company. Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. And before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake's farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's ice cream. As farmers, they believe in providing only top-shelf CBD and hemp products at fair prices. They cut out the middlemen and ship their CBD straight from their farm to your door, which means their CBD is affordable and trusted. Check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use code SOP for 20% off your order. Farmer-owned, Vermont-grown Sunset Lake CBD. That's sunsetlakecbd.com, promo code SOP. Okay, I need to hear about this friends with benefits situationship thing. Okay, it ended. How are you doing?
I honestly feel fine. I definitely like miss him and miss like the physical intimacy, not even like hooking up, just having someone in my bed. Like, I don't know. I used to not be someone that wanted like love through like physical touch. Like that was not really my thing. It was more so like words of affirmation. And I honestly learned to really love it. And I guess because that was his, it grew to be mine as well. And so that's definitely something that I've missed. But I think because it was so emotionally like up and down, it felt almost like this relief off of my shoulders. And I felt so much lighter and more energized when it ended. And I don't hate this person. Like, I would still be friends with them, which I think goes to show that I've gotten better at choosing men.
It's a good telltale sign.
Yes. He just like wasn't ready for commitment, and that is okay. And not everyone's going to be on the same page as you, but honestly, like, I'm feeling fine. I've run into him. I think he needs to work on some things maybe, but overall, like, I feel fine. Like, I think that this situationship, friends with benefits, was honestly a really great learning experience for me. I learned how to communicate what I'm feeling in a really healthy way, in an open way. I let go of a lot of fear around doing that because in the past I would be scared to communicate anything. I also feel like I didn't lose myself for him. Like, I still very much went out with my girlfriends, had fun, didn't cater my plans around him. Yeah, maybe a little bit. I think everyone does that. But I wasn't like not going out in the thought of seeing him. Like, maybe he'll reach me up later or something. But I'm doing good.
Everything you're saying, you sound like a model student of dating right now. Like, I didn't even have to ask you. I think what I've learned from my past relationships and breakups is that in order for me to start to move on, I have to figure out what I learned from the situation, even if it crashed and burned, even if I ended up being depressed after, even if it was like the worst thing in the world. Like, I had to figure out what I learned. So it's amazing that you have taken the time and have had the self-awareness to do that, and that there are so many learnings, even if it didn't go the way you wanted to in the end.
Yeah. And I honestly attribute that to therapy, because my therapist works on my self-esteem and dating a lot, because that's something that's been impacted. I wasn't always like the most secure person when it came to dating. I still think that's something that I'm working on. And I'm also grateful that my friends are very aware and progressive with these things. And they ask me these questions and they make me think about it. And so now, because they've asked me that, I'm going to continue to practice those things, like reflecting. So I really think it is like who you surround yourself and like the way that they talk and their language around dating and love and relationships and all this really impacts how you partake in it.
Are your friends as self-aware as you?
Some of them, yes. Some of them, no.
Honest answer. Do you find yourself going to your friends for dating advice or vice versa?
I feel like yes, because I'm the only one out of my friends who's never had a boyfriend. So I feel like they have more experience with me when it experience than me when it comes to an actual relationship. But I would say I actually have more dating experience. Like, they wouldn't really know how to, like, navigate Hinge or set up dates or how to have a roster or how to not get super attached, like, right away. Like, they're not good at that stuff. So, like, I go to them for anything about, like, okay, do I need to talk to him about exclusivity or, like, any of these things? Because a lot of the times, like, I don't really make it to, like, 3 months, 6 months, whatever. Like, this is
the situation. Yeah, most people don't. It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I don't know how I got to 7, but...
I was going to say, how did you or why do you think it lasted as long as it did when you mentioned that he wasn't ready to commit?
I think because during the whole situationship thing, and even now, like, I don't entirely know what I want. I wasn't, like, super set on having a boyfriend. And for the most part, I was comfortable with what was going on, and I felt like my feelings weren't progressing super fast, so it was okay. And we had, like, check-ins, I want to say. Like, at 3 months, he initiated talking and to make sure we're on the same page. And then at 6 months, I felt like to do the same thing again because I felt like things had shifted. And then a month later, I realized things really weren't working. I was anxious. I wasn't happy anymore. This wasn't benefiting me anymore. So then we discussed things again and we both mutually ended it. So I think it was, like, the constant and clear communication that really helped, which I feel lacks in a lot of situationships and friends with benefits because people are too scared to discuss these things. But we honestly weren't for the most part. Obviously, still human, still, like, in our early 20s and can get nervous to discuss these things. But I think it was honestly the communication and then me just, like, still focusing on my own life and just having fun with friends and everything.
Yeah. Sorry if I laugh through this, as Barkley is literally climbing all over me, you guys. I think it's interesting that you, like you said, like, people often feel afraid to have these conversations. I am a firm believer that it is the conversations that you're afraid to have that are 1000% the most important conversations that you need to be having. And it's great that he brought it up and then you brought it up later. Like, mm-hmm. you both felt like you could bring it up, even if it was scary, like, you knew you had to, and maybe it didn't result in a specific leaning of the tides, but it was a dialogue. And I think that's so important that, like, you continue to have that dialogue, like you said, like, as you feel things shift and kind of figure out what makes sense and if it makes sense or if it makes sense to end it. So
yeah.
You mentioned how to have a roster.
Yes.
Let's get into it. Elena, how do you have a roster?
Okay. So my rule of thumb is, your roster should consist of, like, anywhere between 2 to 5 people. I honestly like to keep it around 2 to 3. I've done 5 before and I was honestly too overwhelmed.
It's a lot.
It's like, a lot. I can't even remember what I've told my friends. So trying to remember what you've told these guys is, like, impossible.
It's, isn't that the worst when you, like, go to tell a friend something that you think is, like, exciting or this breaking news and they're like, Len, you literally just told me this, like, scroll. Yes. It's like, yes. Oh my God. Okay. Red flag on myself right now.
Yeah. So I like to keep it around, like, 2 to 3 people. Also, if you're a busy gal like me, you don't really have time for more. And then I have a 3-date rule when it comes to my roster. So if by date 3, I'm still unsure, I'm not really into it, I'm going to send an anti-ghost text. I'm going to kind of end it, like, saying, like, no hard feelings, like, don't really see it going anywhere. Like, something nice, like, don't be mean to them. Like, you don't really need to do that, but I wouldn't ghost them. And I wouldn't continue to see them past 3 dates if I wasn't really feeling it or seeing it being anything more, because then I just think I'm leading someone on. Like, after the 3rd date, I feel like it's starting to enter a bit more of the exclusive territory a bit, just personally. But in terms of finding your suitors, I love to use Hinge. I would say Hinge is the best option. I don't love Bumble. I despise Tinder. However, I have learned that my followers have all found their boyfriends and their husbands through Tinder.
So. Interesting. Listen, don't knock it till you try it. Like, I have also heard of a lot of success stories from Tinder. They all just happen to have begun 15 years ago, 10 yeah. years ago. I don't know the last like recent Tinder success story, but maybe that's because the people I know feel like there is a stigma around using it. But I know they're trying to rebrand right now. So maybe it's working.
Know. I will not be partaking in Tinder. But
personally,
I don't know. I've like downloaded it. Just it feels grimy. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Not my cup of tea. If it's yours, go for it. Whatever works, works. But Hinge is where I like it. I've used Locks Club. I have Raya, but it's more for entertainment value.
Yeah, I'm curious about Locks and Raya and other apps that aren't necessarily location based. Like, how has that ever actually worked for you?
So Locks Club, I have met a few people from it. When it first came out, there were more people in Toronto on it. And I ended up seeing a guy that I met through there, like for 3 months or something. We also matched on Hinge. So it's like the game of matching on every single app.
Yeah.
but I've met a lot of people in New York that I've kind of just met out when I'm in the city. But that's the only thing. Like, you can't really do it by location. You can filter once you've matched with someone by location. Like, you could be like, oh, I'm in Miami. Like, let me check all my Miami matches. But
right.
it's like not super efficient, I would say, unless you live in those cities, because then you're going to have more options. Like, there's not really any Toronto guys on Locks Club. I don't think it's actually open to them. I just still have my lifetime membership that I got gifted by Carly, actually.
Oh my God, I'm dead. That is so funny. I love that. Cool.
But
okay. So we found them on apps. Where I get them. Where else? Yes. Yeah, where else? Apps, anywhere else?
Bars. Honestly, I've had great success from meeting people in person, like usually at a bar or through hanging out at a pre with friends, like mutual friends being set up, or being at a house party when those rarely happen. But if there's a house party,
but when like, they do, yeah,
there's like, I don't know, you meet someone there. Honestly, in person a lot, or like I'll match with them on Hinge and then meet them in person. Like last weekend, this guy came up to me. I'm literally in front of the DJ booth at this bar club situation. And he introduces himself to me. He's actually the first guy that I would actually give any attention to that night. The rest of the night, I was like, absolutely not. Because they would all just grab my waist and like, can you not introduce yourself?
Absolutely not.
Like, let's be nice over here. And he's like, I think we matched on Hinge. And at first I thought it was like just like a hit, like a pickup line or something. But then I remembered we actually did. So Hinge and bars, or even like workout classes, like if you go to the same studio a lot and you run into people, like you can eventually like talk to them or like become friends with them, or like through mutual friends. That's pretty much how I get the roster. And then I don't know, what I haven't had a roster in a while.
Is it hot roster summer? Roster girl summer?
I feel like we're probably going to enter into that territory unintentionally. It always ends up happening. I go from having zero prospects to having like five guys that are trying to get my attention. And I'm like, okay, which ones am I actually going to venture into seeing in person?
Yeah, it honestly is a difficult situation to be in, because you don't want to make the wrong choice. You also, it's hard to balance. It's hard to like have time for all those people and like actually give your energy to them. It's tough. I definitely struggled. There were times where I think for the most part, I was very much like a date one person at a time, but I would be lying if I said there were not absolutely times where my friends and I had Google spreadsheets of the guys that we were talking to and like shared iCloud notes with like picture and description and what number date we were at in order to like keep track and keep each other in the loop. But I think it has its pros and cons, but I think like if you're able to build up a roster, like by all means, go for it.
Yeah.
Do you
and like, well,
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, do you ever feel guilty about talking to or going on dates with multiple people at a time?
feel like when I first started doing the roster, definitely because I was very much, I only talk and go out with one person at a time when I started doing the roster. And the reason why I started doing rosters in the first place is that I found I was putting the guy on the pedestal so much and I was getting so hyper fixated on them and really losing track of reality that the only way for me to control getting obsessed or too like infatuated with a person was to have many options and to continue to have this like abundance mindset, because I felt like when I was just seeing the one guy, it was like, he's my only shot at love sort of thing. And I feel like a lot of girls or people in general experience that when you're only seeing one person, it's very easy to get obsessed with them and think that this is your one shot when that's so far from the reality. But the only time I would say I actually feel guilty is because I'll never sleep with more than one person at the same time. So if I've started to progress to that with someone else, with one of the people on the roster, then I kind of feel guilty seeing someone else. At the same time, I'm like trying to keep my options open, like not put all my eggs in one basket. But then I feel myself kind of closing myself off to the other two options, because I'm like, okay, well, I've already progressed with option A. I don't right. want to now be doing the same with option B and or C. So then I usually end up ending it with other people if I feel like it's going to continue to progress with option A.
Yeah, it does get complicated when, like you said, like if you start sleeping with one person, that doesn't necessarily mean you're all in on them. Like you're just exploring it further, but then does that mean you have to stop exploring it with someone else? If it starts to get to that point, it does get tricky. But I think to your point of like, it helps you having that abundance mindset, knowing like, okay, I do have options. It's not like I just have to be with this one person that's willing to be with me. I think it is so important to realize that like, you are the prize and like you are mm-hmm. somebody who's worth being with someone that you are choosing to be with, that you want to be with, not because they're the only option, but because you've explored all the options and you've decided like, this is what feels right.
Yeah.
In this essay, I will. Yeah. I think for those who are able to maintain a roster, I do think that it is something that you should try to do, because I do think there are a lot of benefits to it.
Yeah. And you can choose like what your own personal like limitations are with the roster. Like maybe you don't sleep with any of them until you've chosen one. Like maybe that's something. Or maybe you're okay with sleeping with more than one person at the same time. And you make sure you're using your protection and you're having those talks, because I mean, they could be. But you just got to choose. You just got to choose what's like right for you and figure out as you go what you feel comfortable with. And again, it's always about that clear communication, because you wouldn't want to be left hanging in the dark. So like when you're starting to not be interested in one of your options, communicate that you don't really see it going further, that you've had a great time, but I think that's it. Like there's nothing more.
We overcomplicate it so much. And like, if you're trying to beat around the bush and you don't want to let them down, like they feel that you are being distant and they are probably filled with anxiety, versus if you were to just say like, hey, not feeling this anymore, whatever, anti-ghosting text, like we all feel a weight lifted off of our shoulders getting that text, mm-hmm. as opposed to sitting there waiting and not knowing. So I think like, if you're feeling that, like send the freaking text. It takes 2 seconds.
I had a guy that I went on a date with like a year and a half ago message me this past weekend being like, hey, like I just wanted to let you know that I really appreciated like your anti-ghosting text. I've actually used it.
Wait, a year and a half later? Shut up. I'm freaking out. That's amazing. That's the effect of the anti-ghosting text. Spread that positivity, you guys. Spread those good vibes. It's good karma. That is amazing.
Like, it's worked great. I'm like trying to think like, is this him trying to slide back in? Is he just...
And you know what? There's a lesson here. If you don't know what to say in that anti-ghosting text, just take it from someone who said it to you. There you go. We all have some form of an anti-ghosting text in our phones right now. We can all use it.
And if you felt okay with that message overall, then reuse it, copy paste.
Yeah. And if there was ever a message you got from someone that didn't make you feel good, don't use what was in that message.
Yeah, don't.
It's an art form. Okay. I want to talk about dating. You and I spoke before and kind of talked about this idea of like masculine versus feminine energy in dating. And you mentioned that you feel like you hold more masculine energy as a female. Okay. What does that mean for those of us who are less familiar, and how does that show up for you in your dating life?
So obviously I don't know like the exact definition of like masculine versus feminine energy, but I've always felt that when it comes to dating, I'm not afraid to be a more assertive person. Like, I'm not afraid to make the first move. I'm not afraid to ask the guy out. I'm not afraid to decide on the plans and kind of be the leader in the relationship or the more dominant person. And I feel like that relates to having more masculine energy. I'm also someone who's very independent. I'm a self-starter. I work for myself. Like, I'm not like a lot of traits that normally men hold or society expects men to hold, as opposed to a female, like they expect them to kind of just like go with the flow and to let the man lead. And yes, I do let that happen. But I feel like if something's not happening, I'm not afraid to like step in and be like, hey, want to like grab a drink with me or to slide into the DMs? Like, I'm not afraid to do that. And it has worked in the past. Like, it's worked many times, but sometimes I think it either scares certain men away. It can lead to them feeling, at least this is what I feel. I feel like they can feel intimidated by me because I am super confident. I'm super sure of myself. And also I have a presence online. So sometimes guys don't really know what to do with that, especially here in Toronto. It's not really like like there are influencers, but it's not really like you're in LA or New York. It's not like right. that. And then sometimes I honestly think it could lead a guy who, obviously this like depends on them and like how secure they are in themselves, but it could be a turnoff for them. Or that's what I've convinced myself sometimes. Like, I feel like it turns them off because they want to be the one that's chasing. But that's just kind of what I felt in my dating experiences and how I feel right now.
Do you feel like anyone that you would potentially scare off by, you know, being forward or upfront or making that move, could you argue, or would you personally argue that like, that's just not your person anyway? If this one thing was going to be not it for them, then in so many other situations where you would kind of put yourself out there, they also would not, it just wouldn't be a match.
Yeah, I think like that's something I tell myself, like the right person won't be intimidated by it or turned off by it. They'll actually be attracted to it and find it to be something that's like attractive about me, or maybe something that draws them more to me. But it's hard when like everyone online is always like, embrace like your dark femininity or like your feminine side, like let the man chase, like they should be the one asking you all the time. You shouldn't be asking them. So it's hard when like the language is always like that, or the conversations are that online, because it can really make you start to question the way that you act in your romantic life.
I really relate to that, because there were a lot of times when I was single where I would go to maybe like one of my group chats or a certain group of friends for dating advice, and they would all kind of agree and say like, oh, wait for this person to respond, or like, let him make the move, or like, yeah, like, do not send that text. And for me, I felt really conflicted, because I felt like in my gut and in my heart, like that is what, like sending that text or making that move or doing that thing is what felt right for me. And In my mind, like the person who is going to want to be with me is going to want to be with me for me. And so not sending the text felt like I was trying to be somebody else, or trying to follow someone else's rules or do what works for someone else, versus what actually felt right and what like my gut was telling me to do. And it was interesting, because I found that most of the time I would ignore everything that my friends would say. And then I would send a text, ask them out, whatever, do the thing. My friends would be like, Alana, come on, like, what the fuck? Like, you're digging yourself into a hole. But whether or not it ended up panning out, like, I think it was really important to stay true to who I was in every situation and do what made sense for me. But it is really hard when there's so much dialogue out there saying to do something else or saying that this is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Even like I go against everything my friends always tell me. Whenever I follow through with whatever they're telling me to do, I feel like it goes worse off. Like I should have just listened to myself. Like no one at the end of the day, your friends can have so much experience and they can give you so much valuable advice. I'm not saying that your friends can't give you valuable advice, but no one knows your relationship with that person like you do. No matter how much information you give your friends, no matter how much information you give your therapist, they are not in the one, they are not the ones in the relationship seeing the body language of the person you're talking to, hearing your conversations, unless they're literally in your ear. I don't know. Right. Unless they somehow like are right there all the time and are seeing everything. Even like then, like say you go on a group date or like are in a group situation and they see how you interact with this person. You don't know. They don't know what you guys are like behind closed doors. Like there are so many aspects that other people don't understand. So I always say like, go with your gut. Like if you feel like you should like them on Hinge, like them on Hinge. If you feel like you should send the first message, send them the first message. If you feel like you want to ask them for drinks, ask them for drinks. Like honestly, life is too short to sit here and be like, no, I should let them chase me. But then I go back and forth, like being like, I should let them chase me. Like,
because everyone else is saying to do it.
Yes.
But not everyone else has also lived your life and your past experiences, and all of those shape who you are and why you do the things you do and why you feel the things you feel.
Yes, that is right.
But but everyone else is saying to do it a certain way. It's so hard. No, I really think at the end of the day, like the only true way to like be your best self and find the person that is right for you is by being yourself. And there will be a reason that that person wants to be with you and not your friend, you know, or you and not whatever person's content you're watching who says to do things a certain way. Like we're all different and we're all just trying to figure out what works best for us. And I think there is a lot of beauty in embracing that exact thing, what works best for you.
Yes. And like also eventually like they're going to find out who you really are. Like, especially if you start dating this person, like, you can only put on a show for so long. The real colors are going to come out. Like they're going to know. And like, you don't want to feel like this pressure to hide your true colors. That's going to drive you insane. And that's going to make you feel so drained and tired. And like you're hiding something because you are like, you want to be with someone where you can just be how you are alone. Like be your, where you're like your child's self comes out. Like that's what you want. Like that's when you know you're safe.
Yeah, when you can be like your silliest, weirdest self and not feel any judgment or even a fear of judgment because you just know you'll be embraced. And it is so interesting how people feel like they have to play it cool and be chill and put on this persona. But at what point do you stop doing that? Like what, like when, when you become exclusive? No, then you're trying to get from being exclusive to in a relationship. Okay. You're into the relationship, but you want to like get to the point where it's serious. So you got to keep like roping them in. Like, no, you, it doesn't work. Like it just doesn't work. Cause someday you're going to realize like, wait, I actually have never been myself with this person. They don't know who I really am. I don't feel comfortable. And why would you want to be in a relationship with somebody where you don't feel like you can be yourself? It's also not fair to them. You're catfishing them.
Yeah, you are.
I've fully seen people end up in relationships. And when I've seen them in these relationships and like seen their interactions and heard the things they're saying to their partner, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I know you. And this is literally a different person.
Yeah, I've seen that happen with some of my friends. I'm like, I don't know how long this is going to last. I wish you the best.
And it doesn't last, because why would it?
No, no. Yeah. But can we go back to the relationship timeline?
Yeah.
How we go from exclusive to dating. Like, exclusive and dating are the same thing. Like, can we just, like, veto exclusive? Like,
I would love to. I would love to. Wait, can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah.
Jake, my now fiancé, on our sixth date, we were at the Central Park Zoo looking at the seals, and he brought up not seeing other people. And I was like, yeah, great, cool. We're not seeing other people. A month and a half goes by and I'm like, what the fuck is this guy waiting for? Like, we had that talk, but like, he's not bringing up like that he wants me to be his girlfriend and this is driving me crazy. But like, he didn't say girlfriend in the first conversation. So that definitely
wasn't thinking, guys, like, were boyfriend, girlfriend.
I was literally like, every single time we hung out, I'm like, okay, this is the time. Like, he's gonna ask me to be his girlfriend. Like, he's gonna introduce me as his girlfriend. It kept not happening. One morning I was like about to explode. So I literally just like turned to him like, are you gonna ask me to be your girlfriend already or what? And his response was, I thought you were my girlfriend.
Boys are so stupid. That happened with my friend Sid.
Like, the amount of stress and anxiety I put myself through, but also he put me through, but also like, it's just so annoying that there are so many different definitions and one person's definition might not necessarily be the other person's definition. And we don't all talk about it. It's fucking annoying.
I know. But then like, some people are like, okay, we're exclusive, but we're not dating.
Right.
I'm like, okay, so you want like all the perks, but you don't want to call me your girlfriend.
Yeah. And I've like, said yes to that.
Yeah. I've said yes to that too. I did that for like, that was who I went to prom with. Like, that was like my high school. I don't know.
They're
I guess
doing
I could call him
school?
My boyfriend.
Like, yeah, I didn't know they were doing that in high school. What perks were there in high school?
Well, it was like grade 12. So like, yeah, we were already losing our virginities at that point. But no, that was like a common thing in my high school. Like, you could be exclusive with someone, but not boyfriend, girlfriend. Like, I don't know. It was weird.
It just doesn't make sense.
No.
And it's so annoying. I would love to
really
get rid of like every type of label. It's like, okay, do you want to be with me or not? Like, are we together or are we not? Like, that's all it should be.
Yeah. But the issue is that people have so much access to see what's out there.
Yeah.
That the likelihood of someone wanting to settle down is so much smaller. Like, it's so much harder to find that person because people are like, oh, what if like something better comes along? Yeah. Like, Hinge and dating apps are literally a catalog.
Yeah.
For dating or hookups. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone's really frustrated by it, but nobody knows, like, how do we fix it?
We tell Hinge to delete itself.
Well, if I still worked there, I would try that. But unfortunately, they deleted me first before I could do that. But yeah, it's tough. And listen, here's my one argument with the exclusivity thing. I felt like knowing that step of like, okay, like Jake asked me to be exclusive. I felt like, okay, that now like I feel secure. I know that he's not seeing anyone else. I know that he's not talking to anyone else. I don't have to feel anxious anymore. Like, I know that this could go somewhere and like, I feel more comfortable and confident now. But why couldn't we also just be boyfriend and girlfriend at that point? Like,
that,
what the fuck is the difference?
Mic drop.
Yeah.
Like, what is the difference?
With myself about this all day long.
Like, what is the difference? Like, would we equivalent being exclusive with someone as like when our parents were growing up, they would be asked to go study with someone? Like, is that the same shtick in a different word? Like,
but what's the difference between going study and being boyfriend and girlfriend?
I think going study, like you're just going on dates consistently. Like, what is it?
but exactly. Like, I guess you're going on dates with each other and nobody else.
Yeah. Exclusive.
That's what it
so
all
our
is.
Parents have the same drama.
What's it going to be called?
I feel like our parents actually progressed into dating a lot sooner.
What do you think the statistic is of situationships that become exclusive? Like, okay, let's say there's 10 situationships that become exclusive. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are 100 matches on an app. 10 of those matches turn into exclusive. From there, how many of those 10 progress into a relationship?
Like, maybe 3 or 4.
What happens with the rest?
They you break know, up. Maybe, the girl gets annoyed.
This is why. Maybe this is exactly why we have that step in between, because people don't yet know, like, okay, is it going to go there? But they want the security of knowing they're not sleeping with anyone else or going on dates with anyone else.
So then just date and figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this was another thing that I had to talk with my friend Corey about, because I had this, like, idea in my head that the person that I start dating, like, I will already, I don't know why I thought this. When a guy asked me to be his girlfriend, like, at that point, I want to already know them super well. But she was explaining to me that when she started dating her boyfriend, yes, they knew that they liked each other, but they didn't really know much about each other besides, like, surface level things. And as they dated, they got to know the person. But for me, I'm like, I wouldn't want to date the person unless I knew 100% I was going to marry them.
Well, that's a whole other, that's another hour long conversation we can have. But
okay, like, so I want to be sure of that they would be, like, husband material if I'm going to actually date someone, because I don't care to date for the sake of dating.
What would it take for you to be sure?
I feel like I would just know.
Like, okay, if you were dating someone on the sixth date at the zoo in front of the seals, they asked you to be exclusive. Six dates in, would that be too early for you?
I feel like it depends, like, what conversations we've had.
Yeah.
And, like, how long were each of the dates? Like, were some of them 1 hour, or, like, were some of them, like, 6 hours, 12 hours? Right. I've had a 12-hour date before.
Me too. Guilty. Okay. If this is just a what-if game. If you didn't feel ready to be someone's girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
would you say, what would you say?
Something that, like, some fuckboy would say, like, I'm not ready to commit right now.
Or would you say, I don't know if I'm there yet, but we can agree to not seeing other people until I figure it out?
I guess, but I feel like
I don't know what side of this argument I'm on, for the record. I'm on both sides. I'm everywhere. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm just going to stare at the ceiling thinking about this.
Figuring it out, debating this topic. I just know that whenever I've been super into a guy and I've kind of wanted something more with them based on who I was at that point, it's always just been this gut feeling. Like, I just know that it's supposed to be something more. And if they were to ask me and I had that gut feeling about them, usually I know, like, right off the bat, like, if I'm into them and would see them as being my boyfriend or not. So I don't think it would be too soon, but then I guess that goes against my argument of, like, knowing them.
It's so hard. It's so hard. I think the only solution here is that everyone is just really communicative about where they're at and what words mean what things to them and how they feel.
We have to clarify everything.
No, we really do, because everybody has a different definition, but everyone is assuming that the other person they're talking to has the same definition as them, and that's almost entirely wrong most times.
Yeah, and also people's actions need to match their words, and vice versa.
True. Okay, I really am going to be up all night thinking about this now. I've had so many different, like, takes on the situation over time, and I have to figure out where I land. I have to.
I feel like if we take away, like, number of dates, I would say, like, time frame, the classic, like, 3 months. Like, I feel like that's enough time to know.
Yeah.
Unless, like, you've literally only seen the person, like, twice within that time frame. But if you're, like, consistently, like, talking to them, going out with them, doing activities and things around, like, 3 months, like, I feel like that's a good gauger. Like, if someone were to ask me at that point to be, like, exclusive, their girlfriend, whatever,
yeah,
I think I should know. And if I don't, then they're not the person, unless I've only seen them, like, 2 times because of our schedules or something.
Yeah, I agree. All right, it's all situational, you guys. That's what it's coming down to. Okay, one last question before I let you go. This is my favorite question to ask. What is the best piece of dating or relationship advice you've ever received?
Hmm. what's meant for you won't pass by you. So the person that you're meant to end up with isn't going to like just walk out of your life or like not show interest or anything. Like you'll know when you know. And you also won't be confused. Like you won't be confused. If you're asking yourself, like, does he like you? Babe, he doesn't like you. Like he,
I wish I knew. I wish I knew who first said that. Like who came up with that fucking quote? Because it's amazing.
I don't know. We can claim it as our own.
Yeah. It's ours, land and lawn. Alana, thank you so, so much for being here. Where can everybody find you and your content and Morning Ray and all that good stuff?
So you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Alana Bloomberg. It's AllanaBlumberg. And then my podcast is anywhere where you listen to your podcast, and it's just Morning Ray. Ray is spelled R-A-E. Yes, my names are all spelled very uniquely.
Oh my God, I didn't even think of that. I don't know why. Yeah. Well, I love it. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for making me aspire to be, like I said, more aesthetically pleased. I like, swear, I'm not even kidding. Like every morning I'm like, oh, okay, it's the vibe I want to go for. I've never once achieved it, but maybe someday.
It's a dream. It's a goal.
It's a journey. Thank you again to everyone who tuned in. Thank you so much for listening. And I love you guys. I will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening, daters. I hope today's episode made you feel just a little bit less alone out there, no matter what your status might be. Give your finger a break from swiping and hit that follow and review button instead. And if you have any burning questions or want to share your own dating horror stories, reach out to seeingotherpeoplepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, keep on seeing other people.